When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well wherever you might be. I hope you're getting ready to have a wonderful holiday week. Okay, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to our producer. He's not here in Atlanta. He's in New York City. Okay, this show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Done a lot of chatting, okay? We talked about Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders is going to have another opportunity as a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, at least for next week. And when the Browns take on the San Francisco 49ers. Speaking of the Niners, they'll be in action in about an hour from now. Monday Night Football. We got the Panthers and we got the Niners. Christian McCaffrey will go up against his former team. And so we'll talk about that Monday Night Football matchup. We'll do that in an hour from now. In about 20 minutes, we'll have a conversation with Scott Petrak, who covers the Cleveland Browns for BrownZone.com. We talked about Justin Tucker getting a look with the Saints. I guess misery loves company. So if there's going to be a sad sack team that brings on a miserable kicker who's been accused of being a pervert, might as well be the Saints at this point in time. Nobody's going to pay attention. Raiders fired Chip Kelly. Giants fired their defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen. Giants can't hold a lead for crap. They suck, okay? Anyway, we got so much more to get into. You want to be a part of the show? You can call up. You can. Here's the number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. And we talked about the Ravens. They got a 6-5 record. We got the Ravens on a 5-game winning streak. Good for them. And then the Chiefs, how about that? I'm looking at that game yesterday against the Colts, and I'm saying, man, they got to win this. Otherwise, they're cooked. They're 6-5 as well. So we got so much more to get into as the show continues on, okay? Looks like Joe Burrow's going to be back on Thursday. Aaron Rodgers is going to be back after his one game that he missed yesterday with that wrist. And we got a lot to get into. And then we got the Dallas Cowboys, man. Cowboys coming back to stun the Eagles. Eagles falling asleep at the wheel yesterday. Not a good thing. But pretty bad. Pretty bad. Anyway, if you missed that first hour of the show, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to everybody listening live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, be smart. Use your brain. Ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. As I'm sitting here in the studio, they got Brock Purdy warming up. He's back. Man, and we'll talk about this. Nobody's talking about the Panthers. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And Bryce Young looks like he's going to have a job into the future. But we'll talk about them in a little while. Let's talk about a team that has been pretty relevant over the years. I mean, competing for Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls, going to Super Bowls, losing Super Bowls, and it's because they're damn good. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, their offense has not been good. It seems like they are just asleep all over the damn place. But the Chiefs come back and they beat the Colts yesterday 23-20. The Colts have the highest scoring offense in the entire NFL, right there with the Dallas Cowboys, who, by the way, Dallas Cowboys had a big comeback of themselves. But we'll get there in a second with the Cowboys and the Eagles. Harrison Butker had to kick a game-winning field goal in overtime. The Chiefs were down 20-9 in the fourth quarter. And Patrick Mahomes had to go out there and just save the day again. What else is new? Had Rashee Rice, 141 yards receiving. And these Chiefs, they stop a two-game losing streak. Their record is now 6-5. Could you imagine if the Kansas City Chiefs if they fell to 5-6. Oh, it'd be curtains for them. And I'd be like, man, you know what? It's still the Chiefs. You can't put a fork in them, but their season would basically be over. Look, I don't feel anything about the Indianapolis Colts. And we can have this conversation tomorrow. A matter of fact, let's see. We'll see what Ryan Hickey is doing. Maybe we have Hickey on tomorrow to talk about his team, the Indianapolis Colts. But it's just, to me, I look at this team. I look at the squad. There's nothing excites me about Daniel Jones. Yesterday, good for him. He threw 2 touchdowns. Didn't turn the ball over. Jonathan Taylor, on the other hand, he couldn't get running. They didn't give him the ball enough. 58 yards on 16 carries. And the Chiefs, they stay alive. Then the next time we see the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to take on the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. Forget Thursday Night Football. Damn it, it's the Thanksgiving game. America will get to watch some of our most beloved athletes and brands. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, the star. The star is pretty famous by itself. And plenty of people all over America, the only time they see the Cowboys is on Thanksgiving. Somebody's grandmother, the only time she sees NFL football is on Thanksgiving. A lot of grandmas, that's all they know is Dallas Cowboys, okay? We'll see what they're able to do. But when it comes to the Chiefs, good for them. Let's be real. If the Kansas City Chiefs get into the postseason, people are going to be afraid of them. Period. They're not going to worry about getting blown out 50-0. But nobody, I don't care what this year looks like, nobody wants to see Patrick Mahomes. All these one-score losses and playing all these games close. Maybe yesterday gives them a little bit of a spark. Patrick Mahomes talked about it. He says, you know what, this Colts game, it's reminiscent of all these games that we actually lost. Instead of this time, we proved to ourselves and everybody that we can win them.
And we've been in these games. You know, all five of our losses, I felt like these games where there was plays here and there that we didn't make, and we could have won all of them, and we didn't. And until you prove it, you can talk about it all day, but until you prove it, it's not going to happen. And so we're able to prove that we can win the game like this, you know, where it's not always going great, where multiple guys got to step up, and then you can make the big plays in the big moments, and I thought our guys did that. So hopefully we can build off that as we go through the rest of the season.
Listen, man, Andy Reid, he was asked about the record. He's like, we're 6-5. You don't think I know that?
That's the part I appreciate as a coach the most, just the attitude. You know, it's a compliment to the players. It's a compliment to the coaches, the support from our building. Nobody has been hanging their head and going, oh, no, you know, it's over. That's not been the mentality within our building. So that's everybody. Everybody had a piece of that.
Yeah, everybody had a piece of that. Am I silly to think that Thursday afternoon on Thanksgiving, like the Chiefs are going to beat the Cowboys, man? I don't know. It should be a good game. I got to watch my words here. I still don't. I'm not trusting the Cowboys. I'm not. Cowboys now have a record of 5-5-1 after beating the Eagles. God bless them. They came back from being 21 points down. It was 21-0. Eagles just fell asleep. Come on, man. Eagles fall to 8-3, at least this time. God bless him. A.J. Brown, maybe he's thrilled. 110 yards receiving and a touchdown, but they just couldn't muster anything at the end of the game. Maybe some of the injuries to their defensive backs kind of slowed them down because Dak was out there. He was slinging that rock. The Dallas Cowboys, they look like they're back. And you know what America needs? America needs the Dallas Cowboys in the postseason. America needs the Dallas Cowboys to get in as a wild card. And make some noise. What's the playoffs without Dak Prescott going in and, I don't know, failing? Like, this is what America needs. Not Dak failing, but we need the Cowboys. They're fun to talk about. They're fun to make fun of, unless you're a Cowboys fan and you're just absolutely used to the pain, man. Dak Prescott, he spoke to the media yesterday after beating the world champion Eagles, and he's like, listen, man, of course we thought we were going to win. We ain't quitters.
Never blinked, never had any doubt, and 1,000% believed from the beginning. I mean, there was times, right, I'm telling guys, believe, believe, and then there was a moment there in the fourth quarter where a book goes, believe, and I go, I know.
I know. And he's not stupid. This man gave credit to his defense. Because, yeah, they gave up 21 points early, but then they just shut him down. And shut him down. Listen to what Dak said.
Defense, defense, defense. I can't give them enough credit. We wouldn't have won this game without the opportunities that they gave us over and over again. It was also moments of just, you know, when they get a stop or something happened, whether it was Quentin or Donovan, one of those guys telling me, you know, we got you.
Yeah, they got you. Yeah, that defense did come up big for the Cowboys. Listen to this. They got Quentin Williams and Kenny Clark in the middle now, huh? Saquon Barkley, 10 carries for 22 yards. What? This guy rushed for 2,005 yards last year. He helped be the steadying presence for an Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl and won. It's 10 carries for 22 yards. Jalen Hurts says, man, we stink. Like, what are we doing? He says, we got to run the ball better. What are we doing?
Given the three interior defenders they have, they want to keep their best guys on the field, and it's very effective for us, and it was something that we didn't handle as good as we'd like to, so good opportunity to build if that's something that teams show us.
Oh, boy. Well, that's Jalen Hurts. He sounds that way whether they win or lose. Nick Sirianni always trying to explain away something. Hey, Nick, how do you feel? Why'd y'all lose? Is it your fault? You a loser?
Obviously, at the end of the day, we didn't coach well enough. We didn't play well enough. And when there's an amount of mistakes that we had, some of the self-inflicted wounds that we had today, I'm always going to put that on me as the head coach because, you know, that's something that we talk about an awful lot. And I got to make sure my message is getting through.
I got to make sure my message is getting through. Okay, all right. Man, the next time the Eagles play, they're playing in a Black Friday game. We got the Eagles and the Chicago Bears. Yeah, so you can sit around on Thursday and eat, and then you can watch more football on Friday. Nick Sirianni says, man, we got to go to work quick.
Got to get up, and we got a short week. You know, we didn't do two things quite well enough tonight. Give them credit, and then get up and get back to work.
Still not worried about the Eagles, sorry. The Eagles are still Super Bowl contenders. I am not concerned at all about the Philadelphia Eagles. I know everybody's worried about the offense, but I think they'll get it together. And if they don't, we can just take a look at some of the injuries and some of the changes that have taken place with their offensive line. I am not worried about the Eagles. The Eagles are 8-3. It takes one big game, one big stretch by Saquon Barkley, and things change. I still believe they have enough time to figure things out. I mean, we're 11 games in. They got six more games. If we had one game left and they still look like this, you know what? Then I'd be a little concerned. But as it stands right now, I'm not worried about the Eagles. But the Cowboys, yeah, put them in. They're hilarious to me. They're funny. And, of course, they're led by the ringleader, Jerry Jones. Of course, they won the game. It was a comeback. And so he went from being miserable to, of course, wanting to speak, wanting to have the cameras in front of him. Jerry Jones is just like, you know what? Show love to the defense, and the fans should be proud of him.
So proud of that defense. And when you really look at what that defense helped overcome for us, and you got to be excited about what we've got out here. I hope our fans are as proud of these players as I am. In 4 days, we'll be playing again. And they can't wait. I can't wait to play again.
He can't wait to play again. He doesn't do nothing but sit up there and look crazy. Okay. He did say, but we can't start these games. And a 21-0 hole.
Everything we got, we seem to make it hard before we got it all day. And that needs to, they'll be the first to tell you we need to not make it so easy for the other team. But they took advantage of it. We got behind, but more to that defense's credit. They kept that bunch in check.
Yeah, this should be fun, right? I'm here for the Dallas Cowboys. We need Dallas Cowboys. Give them a wild card spot. But the next time we see them, I don't know, maybe Bacha on Thanksgiving Day, do we get a split screen? On one side, we get Jerry Jones, and the other side, we get Taylor Swift.
Oh, that would be on, like, the whatever channel it's on, the second version, where it's like the Manning cast, but it's like the Jerry Taylor Swift version.
Oh, we can't do that. Oh, my God. Who wants to look at Jerry Jones for 3 hours?
It's not really Jerry Jones. You get all the Taylor Swift fans. They'll put piece of paper, cover it up. Just,
No thanks. Yeah. No thanks. Who knows? We don't even know if she's going to show up. I guess would it be great for the NFL if she did? It would. I know people at home be like, oh, we got Taylor Swift on the television again. But I assume she's going to be in Texas for Thanksgiving with her fiance, Travis Kelce. I assume so. I can tell you one thing I can assume. Well, I don't have to assume it. I know. Dak Prescott says another comeback victory. Yeah, it gives the team confidence to know that we can do whatever the hell we want.
There's going to be moments when you're down a touchdown. There's going to be moments when you're down maybe two touchdowns, and that's not going to be the last time for the season. And when you have a game like this, talking about the belief or knowing, that's what this allows guys in that locker room to do is to believe we're going to come back or know that we have the team, the brotherhood, the connection to do just that.
Okay, all right. Let's see what you do against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs can't be that bad again, right? They can't only score 9 points, right? The Chiefs have been playing all these games close. I'm going to go with the Chiefs on Thursday, okay? I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Dallas Cowboys do know how to light up that scoreboard. I think we're in store for a good one. Let's see who steps up with all of America watching. The Cowboys come back, Chiefs come back, and now when we get to Thursday, only one team is going to walk away with a victory. I think it'll be the Chiefs. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Browns. Yeah, how often does that happen? Because Shedeur Sanders made his debut as a starter, and he won. It's not something the Browns have seen in about 30 years. But what's next for Shedeur? What's next for Kevin Stefanski? What the heck are they going to do with the draft? Scott Petrak is going to join us from BrownZone.com. He'll be here with us on the other side of the break. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Who would have thought that a team not going to the postseason again? Who would have thought a team with a history of bad quarterbacks would be gathering so much attention? Well, it's because it's Shedeur Sanders. Obviously, I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. But Shedeur Sanders gets his first career start yesterday. Impresses enough that we will see him again next week in their next game against the San Francisco 49ers. So what does this mean for the team moving forward? What does this mean for Shedeur, Kevin Stefanski, Berry? And then lost in a lot of this is the fact that Myles Garrett is just destroying every quarterback who is in front of him. Joining us right now to talk about the Browns is Scott Petrak, who covers all things Browns for BrownZone.com. Scott, thank you for the time.
Sure thing. How you doing?
I'm very well. When you take a look at Shedeur Sanders, what are the largest differences in the game that we saw last week versus yesterday?
Well, obviously he had the week of practice with the first team that helped him, and I think it showed up on the ability to make some plays down the field. He tried that against the Ravens and didn't have a ton of success, but he had a huge play to Isaiah Bond yesterday that set up a touchdown. And then I thought a big area was against the pressure in the blitz. He did not fade backward, which was a problem at Colorado and in the preseason and even against the Ravens. He mostly hung in the pocket or escaped sideways, made the big throw to Bond on one of those plays, and only took one sack, and I thought that was important. He threw the one interception, but overall he was efficient. protected the ball and didn't have negative plays.
When you think about what he did yesterday and Kevin Stefanski's decision to start him next week against the 49ers, do you think he's going to get the chance the rest of the season, given what the record looks like?
I would say probably, but I wouldn't go – I wouldn't say it definitively. You know, they drafted Dillon Gabriel ahead of Shedeur Sanders. I think without the concussion, Gabriel would still be in the starting lineup. Now, I thought they would go to Sanders at some point, but I don't think it was happening before that Raiders game unless Gabriel had the concussion. So, you know, I think we have to wait. I think they want to see more Sanders for sure. I don't think they would mind seeing more of Gabriel. So I think it depends really on how well Sanders plays over, you know, I don't know if it's just based on next week, you know, will they make the decision every week? It's kind of a tough way to live. But I wouldn't guarantee that he gets the final, whatever, six starts.
Scott Petrak is here with us from BrownZone.com. When you think about Kevin Stefanski and his own job security, knowing that he's balancing two rookie QBs, how is his future with the Browns tied into either one of these quarterbacks, if at all?
Yeah, it's interesting. If Shedeur, because I think he's got a better chance to do it, if he emerges over the, you know, last seven games of the season and looks like he might be the guy, then I think that is definitely helpful for Stefanski, because he would have been part of the development of Sanders, and it would look like, hey, maybe the Browns have the quarterback. I think what's more tangible is whoever's playing quarterback, wins matter for this, for Kevin Stefanski, and I think for Andrew Berry too, the general manager, because they're coming off 3-14. And as much as ownership wants to keep stability and wants to keep these two guys, there has to be a bottom line of wins. And I don't know what that number is, but I don't think 3 is enough. I don't think going 3-14 back-to-back seasons is going to keep, you know, is enough for them to keep their jobs. Therefore, whoever's playing quarterback needs to win, I don't know, 2 or 3 more, maybe over the final 6 games. So I think that is where Stefanski's future is really tied.
Well, we know that the Browns, and to hit the fast forward, but they got 2 first-round picks, the one they got from the Jacksonville Jaguars for Travis Hunter. Do you think that if things don't look good between Dillon and then also Shedeur over these next several games, do you think that they would strike with another quarterback, or would that be too much too soon?
No, I would expect them to do that. Now, I don't know who's coming out in the draft and who's going to be, you know, ranked where, projected where. But taking a guy in the 3rd, in the 5th round, certainly does not prohibit a team from taking a guy in the top 10 the next year. And when Andrew Berry made the trade at number 2 with the Jaguars to pass on Travis Hunter, it was expressly in mind the possibility of taking a quarterback in 2026 and having the draft capital to move around if their pick wasn't high enough.
Well, one thing that we know that they also need help with isn't necessarily the quarterback, but also who's on the receiving end of those passes. Jerry Jeudy having a down season after a bounce back from last year. We see his quarterback situation. And then Isaiah Bond is certainly still kind of, you know, getting his feet wet in the NFL. What are some other areas of need specifically on the offense when it comes down to the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it with receiver, and then maybe equally as important is the offensive line. All 5 guys that are starting right now are not under contract for next year. So there's going to be turnover. How much remains to be seen? I think Jack Conklin either leaves in free agency or retires. I think Joel Bitonio retires. They could bring back a Wyatt Teller at right guard or Ethan Posick at center, but they're going to need they're probably going to need a left tackle. They might need a right tackle, depending on, you know, DeJuan Jones wants to be the guy, but he's finished his first 3 years on IR. So I think they're going to need 2 tackles. So, you know, the defense is pretty stocked. You know, we see that from what it did yesterday and what it's done all year. So I think they're going to spend a lot of their draft capital on receivers and offensive linemen.
Well, Scott, you talk about the defense, man. You cover the Browns. You see everything that Myles Garrett is doing. What he's going to break the sack record. What is he going to do it next week?
I'll tell you what, I don't know. San Francisco might have a plan to stop him, but you know, it certainly seems like it's coming. You know, I've covered him since he got here in 2017, and he's been phenomenal, you know, almost since day 1, but he's gotten better. He had the Defensive Player of the Year season in 2023. But right now, he's playing better than he ever has. He hasn't turned 30 yet. You know, just the tear he's on is really hard to comprehend. He's got 13 sacks in the last four games. You know, 5-4-3-1, you know, not in that order. But it's just crazy. And teams devote so much attention to stopping him. You know, it's double teams. It's triple teams. They slide. They chip. All of it. They roll away from him, the quarterbacks, and he still chases guys down for sacks. And then Kevin Stefanski will not let us overlook this because he says it now. It's kind of gotten routine every time we ask about Miles. Is he says he's playing phenomenal against the run. So it's not like he's just showing up on third down or in pass situations. He's got a ton of tackles for loss, chases down running backs when they run away from him, sets the edge when they run at him. You know, Mark Andrews a couple weeks ago in Baltimore before they played said he might be the best athlete in the history of the NFL to play defense. And I don't know if I can argue with that.
Wow. Well, you look at what he's doing just a few months ago. Who knows? He's just looking for some money. He said he wanted out. We don't hear anything about that now, do we, huh, Scott?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's interesting. Right before the deadline, there were fans around here, and I think members of the media too, that felt like he should trade Miles because it looks like a rebuild. And could they get two or three first-round draft picks, right? So that conversation has not died out, but he hasn't said anything about it. And it's really a complicated situation. For his whole career, he was happy to be here and wanted to be here and talked nonstop about trying to bring the city a championship. He saw what, you know, LeBron and the Cavs did. He knows how the city would go nuts. And that was his motivation. And then I think he just got so frustrated when they went to the playoffs in 2023 and then fell flat last year. And he was just so discouraged. And he didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel, especially at the quarterback position. And I think the frustration and some bad advice led to his public trade request. And then he realized he wasn't going to go anywhere. And I don't think it was that hard for him to come to grips with staying. Obviously, the huge contract he got, the huge extension made it easier. But I think in his heart of hearts, he always wanted to be here. The problem was, could they win here? And, you know, obviously they have not solved it this year. But I think you can look at it and go, okay, you know, this defense is championship quality. If they get a quarterback, if you get a couple pieces on offense, all of a sudden it's not that far away. And all you have to do is look at New England, right? They got their quarterback, and all of a sudden, you know, they might be the best team in the AFC.
Oh, yeah, well, look, he got a lot of money. Now it just has to see if the quarterback – is going to work out. And speaking of someone on that defense with him, Scott, what's the development of Mason Graham look like?
Yeah. Yeah, I just actually posted a story in my notebook, and he was the lead. You know, he's been good all year, you know, kind of up and down. You see flashes and then maybe disappears for a game, and it's tough with the interior lineman. I thought he played his best game yesterday against the Raiders. He didn't have a sack, but he should have had a half of one because he was in the pile on one of the 10 that the Browns had. He's in the backfield all day. He ran over linemen. He lit up Ashton Gentry late, and I think it shows the edge that he plays with. He's a guy that doesn't look like he's got a whole lot of edge to him, quiet, but he showed it yesterday. He had five tackles, four solos, one for loss. He batted a pass at the line of scrimmage. I think that was his best game, and I talked to Malik Collins about it today, and he thinks it's just the natural progression for Graham. So, you know, I don't know if you can say, man, he's lived up to the number five pick to this point, but I'm sure the Browns have no concerns about taking him there.
Looking good so far. Well, Scott, we've been having a lot of chat about the active players. Certainly started the conversation with Shedeur Sanders playing QB now. But a legendary QB, Bernie Kosar, what's the latest on him after that liver transplant? He's okay? He's good?
Yeah, he left the hospital today, a week after getting a liver transplant. He walked out of the hospital. He said it was a miracle or miraculous. And he turned 62 tomorrow. So Thanksgiving week, the Browns won. He's turning 62. He was all smiles. I was texting with him over the weekend. Just a remarkable story. I remember running into him at training camp, and he was hoping for the transplant then. And then, obviously, that weight gets tougher. His condition deteriorated, and then he was able to get it last Monday. So I know everybody around here, these parts, is thrilled because I'm not sure there's another athlete in the last 50 years that's more beloved than Bernie.
Hey, listen, I guess for a week, We got Browns fans who can be happy with everything taking place. What's the final question for you, Scott? What's the overall sentiment surrounding just the game and what we saw from Shador? People are feeling optimistic, huh?
I would say yes. You know, overall, yes. And I was getting texts from guys that I haven't gotten texts from all year and said that's the best game they've seen in a long time. The defense is that dominant. Shador, you know, he's a polarizing figure. There's so many people that like him, but he also has his critics and people that he rubs the wrong way. So, you know, I think there's a segment of the population out there that goes, man, he was 11 for 20. One of the swing passes went for 66 yards. It's not like he had a great game. And that's true, but he did show improvement, like we talked about early. He got a win. The Browns hadn't won on the road in 13. They lost 13 straight on the road. So I do think the overall sense is optimism. Now the question is, can Shador build on that and maybe turn out to be the guy? Because that would save a whole lot of, you know, headaches in the draft if you're not looking for a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. We know the Browns, their next game is going to be against the 49ers, and the 49ers are just a minute's away from kickoff with the Carolina Panthers. Scott, we appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they could follow you and all your work covering the Browns.
Yeah, you can read everything at brownszone.com. And just follow me on X at Scott Petrick.
Hey, Scott, we appreciate you. Have a great holiday week, okay?
You too. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. That's Scott Petrack. Covers all things Cleveland Browns for brownszone.com. As I mentioned, it's nice if you're a Browns fan. You get the good news about Bernie Kosar following his liver transplant. Always a good news. Much bigger than anything taking place on the football field. And then on the football field, of course, we all saw what took place with Shador Sanders. A victory against the Raiders. A road victory against the Raiders in his first career start. Good for him. The JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I told you that the 49ers are getting ready to host the Carolina Panthers. We're going to get into that game in a little while. And then, speaking of the Browns, you know that AFC North is tough. Browns are not in competition. We talked about the Ravens, and they got a lead here with the Steelers. Let's talk about those Steelers on the other side of the break. Okay, they did this. Well, they lost with no Aaron Rodgers. And then speaking of another old guy, LeBron James played his second game yesterday back this season with the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll get into that. And then speaking of L.A., there's another guy. He's been playing out of his mind. He might bring an MVP to L.A. His name is Matthew Stafford. We got a lot to get into, but what else is going on in the world of sports? It's time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Scott Petrack for joining us from brownzone.com. Yeah, to talk about everything going on with the Browns. Okay, Shador Sanders getting another chance, another opportunity to go out there and keep that starting job. So we just got to wait and see what happens with Shador and the Browns. Those are two things to pay attention to. The two things you need to pay attention to. Shador Sanders, as he tries to hold on to that job for the Cleveland Browns. And then also Myles Garrett, who is currently annihilating the record books. He had four sacks yesterday against Geno Smith. The poor guy was running for his life. He was sacked 10 times. Myles Garrett has 18 sacks on the season. Let me remind you, the record is co-owned by Michael Strahan and TJ Watt, which is 22.5 sacks. That's in a full season of football. Okay, back then they played 16 games. As it stands right now, the Browns, they got more football to go out here and play. He has 18 sacks in 11 games. Okay, he got six more games to go out there. And I don't know, Bacha, what is he going to get to, like 25, 26?
I would say he probably ends at 24 and a half. because I don't know how many more of these I'm going to get five sacks in one game. I don't know if that's consistent, but he should be able to get this pretty easily.
Well, I mean, damn it, if anybody is going to be able to go out there and do it, it would be him. They have San Francisco up next, chasing around Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy ain't moving nowhere. You got Tennessee, and we know Cam Ward will probably get his ass whooped. They got the Chicago Bears, the Buffalo Bills, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cincinnati Bengals. That's how they finish up their season. So it's just record watch for Myles Garrett. And as we just discussed with Scott Petrak, he did a lot of talking at the conclusion of last season about trying to leave and get out of there. He ain't go nowhere. They did not move that man. 888-710-4ISN. They paid him. 888-710-4ISN. Hey, how about this? We're minutes away. The botcher, sorry. I'm watching television. That was a Target commercial?
Which commercial? You have the one with the eye and the bird?
I don't know. I saw Troy Aikman on the screen, okay?
I don't know. I have some weird commercial about some eye disease or something.
No. They got the pregame on for Monday Night Football, and it was Troy Aikman selling Target stuff. I don't know. I was just distracted. Hey, it happened. Sitting here in the studio, got all these walls, got all this machinery. TV's the only thing that's moving in front of me. And so, yeah, there you have it. Anyway, we're getting ready for this game. This is still difficult to even think about. We have the Carolina Panthers getting ready to take on the 49ers. Even thinking about the Panthers in a primetime game, it just sounds unusual because we're used to them stinking the joint up. I mean, this is a Panthers team. They haven't been to the postseason since, what, 2017? Like, they got the longest streak in the NFL behind the New York Jets. There's nothing positive that comes out of Carolina, but they've been able to add some pieces. Bryce Young doesn't look like lost. I got to watch my words. He doesn't look lost, okay? He doesn't look overwhelmed. They were able to draft Tet McMillan out of Arizona. He's leading the way with rookies with almost 750 yards receiving. And so we got Carolina, who's 6-5. And San Francisco is 7-4 despite all the injuries that they've suffered all throughout the course of the season. It doesn't matter if it's Kittle or Ricky Pearsall or Fred Warner and Brock Purdy. Everybody has been hurt on San Francisco. And Carolina, this sounds crazy. Like, they're sitting here. They have an opportunity to win the NFC South. That still sounds crazy to even think about. It's nuts. This is what Bryce Young had to say about winning in the division potentially.
Definitely grateful, definitely a blessing. Don't take it for granted. But yeah, on to San Francisco. It's going to take everything this week. All that is going to mean nothing when we go out there. We're 0-0 right now, just working to be 1-0 this week.
Yeah, you can only move one step at a time. And that's for the Carolina Panthers. Everything with them right now is a learning experience, trying to build off of the next week and move on to the next one. But then with the 49ers, they're trying to keep pace with the Rams. And also, they're trying to get into the postseason and maybe go on another run despite all of the injuries. And the thing that you should really pay attention to today is Christian McCaffrey, because he's not going to say it's a revenge game. And it sounds crazy that it's already been 3 years. It was 3 years ago that they traded him in the middle of the season to the San Francisco 49ers so they would have an opportunity, they being the Carolina Panthers. They have an opportunity to restock and reload. And Christian McCaffrey was asked about taking on his old team. This is what he said.
They really all are all important, and I think if there's any extra added emotion, you just let that come naturally on game day. That's what I say any given Sunday. You know, we're unlike other professional leagues where we have a limited amount of games, and each one is unbelievably important.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, they finally are somewhat healthy. Somewhat. They still don't have Brandon Ayuk. That's a whole nother situation. Apparently, they avoided his contract for next year due to him not participating and trying to get back onto the football field following his knee injury. I mean, there's no guarantee that Brandon Ayuk would be back this year, but apparently they're not happy with how he's participating or not participating with the team. Now, despite that, Brock Purdy, who also just came back from injury with that foot, he says, listen, man, our offense, we get ready to blow up.
Just as a whole, I feel like we've all been able to put some practices together. You know, I feel like throughout the year, it's been someone's out and there's been not a whole lot of consistency, but obviously guys have stepped up and done a great job. But it just feels good that we're all able to practice together, play a game together, watch film together, and grow in that regard. It's huge.
This will be a fun one. I mean, just for the Chiefs, well, not the Chiefs, too many teams. What am I thinking about? For the Panthers, we do not see them in primetime action. And so Bryce Young will have a chance to show everybody, hey, guys, don't forget about me. I'm still here. I mean, Bryce Young last week absolutely lit it up. So far this season, not so bad. 14 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. And the last time we saw him take on the Atlanta Falcons, he had 3 touchdowns and threw for 448 yards. This is a big game for the Carolina Panthers to establish themselves as not just bums in the NFL, that you actually have to pay attention to them. And the Panthers might be back. Dave Canales, he's like, yeah, we're playing on Monday Night Football. I can't believe it either.
I encourage our guys to take in the moments, take in the opportunities, look around, hear the sounds, feel it, feel all of it, and still get back to our execution and be able to have a great focus week. So there's a lot of excitement, but at the same time, you know, we have to treat this as another game, playoff implications, all those things right in front of us.
Be a fun one. This would be a good one. I'm going to go with the 49ers at home. This is good. Brock Purdy says, man, we can't fall to 7-5. We got to go to 8-4. Listen what Brock Purdy said.
More than anything, it's a crucial time of the year. It's the end of getting towards the end of the season. So obviously everybody knows November and December football is huge, especially going into playoffs and everything. So for us, you know, this is a huge one.
Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have a big game. I know that's a real groundbreaking to say, but I think if you are the San Francisco 49ers, you do not want to lose any ground in the NFC West. You already have to deal with Seattle. They're 8-3. And we know the Los Angeles Rams are just lighting everybody up. Matthew Stafford very well might be the MVP. The Rams are 9-2. San Francisco does not want to get lost in the sauce. Okay. We're going to talk about LA on the other side of the break because Matthew Stafford, I don't know, maybe the Rams are so damn good nobody's paying attention. We're going to get into the Rams on the other side of the break. I did tell you about the Steelers. We didn't see Aaron Rodgers yesterday. We got a lot to get into. If you want to call me, you could do that too. 888-710-4ISN, the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.